You're listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends, the number one source for travel news, reviews, and in-depth travel journalism. Broadcasting live from Florida's Suncoast on WTMY Sunday Travel Radio. Don't forget, you can listen to us online 24/7 at ttrn.com. And now, here's our host, the travel guy, Roy Lowy.
Thank you, Greg. And you're listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy on WTMY Sarasota, broadcasting live. And you can also pick us up on TTRN.com, Travel Talk Radio Network.
And I'm reporting from the Courtyard by Marriott, Bradenton, Sarasota, Riverfront, which you might remember was a Holiday Inn at one point. And we're fortunate enough to have the general manager with us, and his name is Mr. Tom Jung. Good afternoon, Tom.
Good afternoon. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you. Can you kind of walk us through what really took place here? All our listeners here in Sarasota and Bradenton, obviously, are going to remember it as a Holiday Inn, but kind of walk us through it, if you will.
Well, I think it started with the vision of Marriott, who introduced the new concept in the Courtyard by Marriott. We were the seventh one in the country that has gone through the transformation, and certainly the rest of the Courtyard family will also be eventually changing to this new concept. Our ownership took hand-in-hand with Marriott Corporation themselves and decided, you know, we want to put a first-class property here in the Bradenton location, and decided to do it, and it, which started back in January of 2008. And we did the transformation and change over to Marriott on December 6th of 2008.
Incredible, because what's really interesting is I've been in a lot of Courtyards by Marriott, but this is a little bit over the top.
Absolutely. Our company has been known to go the extra mile and go above and beyond what's even standard in Marriott terms. And Marriott gives you scenarios or gives you options of furniture and fixtures and several ideas on what needs to get changed. But our company just takes it to another level. So, again, with the Egyptian marble floors to the 57-inch LCD screen TVs, the new concept of the bistro restaurant, as well as the front desk pods, which is not the normal, it's a great way to interact with our guests now.
Now, the property, 153 rooms?
That is correct. 57 of those rooms are suites.
And tell us about the facilities, restaurant, meeting space.
Absolutely. We're an unusual courtyard, not only from the look side of it, but we're almost a full-service Marriott in comparison, meaning our bistro serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner on 7 days a week. We also have a fitness center, completely renovated, as well as over 6,500 square feet of indoor banquet and meeting facilities, which does not even include the outdoor courtyard area as well as out by the riverfront, which can hold anywhere from 300 to 400 people at one time.
And it's also a smoke-free environment.
Absolutely.
Now, pets, no?
No, unfortunately, we do not allow pets unless they're service pets with the local police department, government facilities, or a guide dog.
And the meeting space, as I my notes have it, is 6,000 square feet, which is pretty good size.
Absolutely. We have two great rooms. One is called the River Palm Room. That generally can hold about 150 people or so with the dance floor. Ceilings that are about 27 feet in height. We also have the Rio Ballroom, which can actually be separated into two separate rooms. And it's a room that can handle about 250 banquet style, or it can be separated into two separate rooms where it's about 150 for a meeting if you would prefer, or if you wanted to have a nice dinner, a reunion, a wedding of any kind, which is fantastic.
Now, the bistro, is it going to be open to the public, I would imagine?
Absolutely. And one of the signature cocktails in the bistro is Starbucks coffee, as well as some of their signature drinks as well. And it has a full lounge available starting at 5 p.m. daily. Other than that, there's not room service, but it is a great restaurant. It's a great energy starter for the day.
What kind of menu?
It varies from your eggs cooked to order, to omelets, to pancakes, to sandwiches, to ribs, almost everything you can imagine, wings and burgers and pizzas. It's just a little bit for everyone, for the little child to the business traveler to the family who's on vacation.
I was looking at the menu. It all seems to be reasonably priced as well.
Absolutely. Courtyard certainly dedicates themselves to building hotels for the business traveler. But we also understand the family needs as well, and that you're traveling with two or three children at a time. So we want to make certain that it's available and certainly is affordable to not only business clientele, but to our leisure guests as well.
Tom, thank you very much, and we certainly recommend you all get down here to look at it. Even if you just come in for a cup of coffee, come on down, look at this new property. They've raised the, well, they haven't raised the ceilings, but they've blocked out some of the second-level areas, and it looks like cathedral-type ceilings.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Thank you once again, Tom.
Thank you.
Do you suffer from chronic pain, severe arthritis, joint pain, or fibromyalgia? Living every day in pain can make you depressed, fatigued, and moody. You can even be losing sleep. Well, I can help you stop the pain today with a free sample of Pain Free. Pain Free is a revolutionary new safe and effective cream that uses the natural power of glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate. Simply rub Pain Free on the skin and your body will naturally melt away the pain fast. Get your free supply of Pain Free now and see if Pain Free is right for you. Only pay shipping and handling.
Just call Pain Free toll free at 1-877-283-3445. That's 1-877-283-3445.
Pain-Free is trusted by professional athletes for quick pain relief. So free yourself from depression, fatigue, and chronic pain for only the cost of shipping and handling.
Just call Pain-Free toll-free at 1-877-283-3445. That's 1-877-283-3445.
My next guest is rather interesting. It's Liz Dahl, and she has a website called Boomeropia. And so here's the boomer girl herself, Liz Dahl. Thank you for joining us. Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm doing terrific. So
you're a boomer too, aren't you?
I don't know. I'm always booming. But you know what's interesting is now you have. I was listening to a news report the other day, and they're now saying we have the pre-boomers coming on board, and it looks like the boomers are moving into the nifty 50s. And I don't know, can we call those bloomers?
We can call them anything we want, but you know what? We will always be the baby boomers, no matter what they want to say.
You're absolutely right.
We are so unique and different, and that's, you know, that's the thing that was kind of difficult about putting the website together, is because there is nothing typical about a baby boomer. You know, one of our traits was the fact that we were so different, and we were outspoken, and we set the trends, and we set the pace, and we're still doing it.
Absolutely. Now, how long have you had this this
well,
website?
Actually, we're celebrating 1 year this month.
Ah, congratulations!
Thank you so much. It's our birthday.
Now, tell her I had a cake today. How did I know that?
I would have loved it.
How did you get started? Tell us about the concept.
Absolutely. I had a travel agency years ago that I started, and it was called Travel Professionals. It became a franchise nationally, and I sold it when I went to work in government for Phyllis George, who's another baby boomer. She was Miss America and also First Lady of Kentucky, and I went to work for her as Chief of Staff and Press Secretary. And when that 4 years was up, I decided to go into public relations. So I had a PR firm for 24 years, but continued booking little travel on the side just because it was a lot of fun, and I wanted to keep my hands in it. So anyway, I continued to book this travel, and I found over the last year or so that a lot of my fellow boomers were calling me, unsolicited by me, that I was actually doing this on the side. They wanted to book travel because they couldn't find things that were suitable to them. And
right.
Everything that I was offering to them, they said, well, I've never seen that, or I didn't know about that. And I realized that boomers were not being catered to, because, as you know, the coveted demographic for advertising is 18 to 49. So when you're 50, you fall off the planet, and they forget about you, except when it comes to medications, laxatives, and hearing aids. So I said, that's it. I've had it. I still want to have fun. So, you know, our tagline is that we explore the fun side of 50.
Right, I see that, huh?
So that's pretty much how it came about.
In fact, it's interesting that you mentioned that you had a PR agency, because it seems to me now, I recall getting PR releases from you at various times, and maybe even have interviewed some people that you've that you were handling. One of the things that you go into, which is that here we're in Florida, and it was down to 40 degrees this morning.
You're not much higher than we are. I'm in Kentucky, actually, and we're at 40 degrees right now and dropping steadily.
Well, we're rising steadily. And, you know, the one beauty of Florida is it may be cold in the evening, cold in the morning during the winter months, but once the sun is out, it's going to get warmer.
Exactly.
Now, tell us about glamping.
I know. Isn't that great? Well, you know, the way the site is designed, Roy, is that on the left-hand side of Boomeropia, you have travel ideas.
Right. I'm on the site now, in fact.
Okay. And I have everything from adventure to volunteer in alphabetical order. So
yep.
We don't sell travel on the side. We just sell ideas. What we
yep.
want to do is give you some ideas of the types of trips that you might want to take that you didn't even know were available to you.
So you're back really to the old PR game, aren't you?
Yeah, in a way. You know, well, I have to combine what I know with
well,
PR
exactly.
and travel.
And I thought that was very clever because when I first looked at the site,
mm-hmm.
I'm saying, now, what's this all about? Is she selling travel? Is it the news? Is it? And now you've explained it.
We're a resource. We want to give you ideas. We want to tell you what's out there and give you some ideas for things that maybe you didn't know existed or spark your imagination. And we let you do your own thing. You know, that's why we give you a link directly to the sites that we recommend, and you can deal directly with them. You could call your travel agent. You can, you know, book online. You can call the vendor directly. It's up to you.
Now, how do you get...
Glamping, glamorous camping.
Right.
You know, I think we've earned the right not to have to sleep on the ground and still enjoy the outdoors. So when you click on the glamping category, it'll take you to various destinations in Canada, the U.S., and actually around the world, where you can enjoy the marvels of the outdoors and still have a tent butler delivering your breakfast to you in the morning. So that's kind of one of the unusual things on the site.
Now, how do you gather your information?
Various ways. We have mostly by recommendation, things that I have personally done or my friends have done or other people in the industry that I know have done. So it's really, I try to get recommendations from people in our age group.
Right.
See what they've enjoyed. And then we research it to be sure that, you know, to the best of our knowledge that it's a viable company, et cetera. But, you know, there's a lot going on right now. In travel because of the economy. So I think people, whether you're a boomer or not, you're kind of rethinking the way you do things. But actually, this is probably the best time to travel because so many places are offering deals.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. We see it every day. Airfares right now are probably at the lowest I've seen them in a long time.
Well, yes. And you know how expensive Alaska cruises have been?
Yep.
Well, last year, their cheapest cruise offered, you know, of all the cruise lines was like $7.99 per person plus all the taxes and fees. And this winter, Princess Cruises is offering summer cruises for $475 to Alaska plus taxes and fees. That's almost half of what they cost a year ago.
Yeah, it's amazing. When I just come back from, well, not just, but a few weeks ago, did a pre-inaugural cruise on the Syltys, which is,
mm-hmm.
you know, Celebrity Cruise Line's new megaship. And after I returned, I was looking at some of the fares that they were offering,
right.
I thought to myself, goodness gracious, I mean, you can't afford to stay home for those prices and be entertained. And, of course, the food on most of the ships is pretty spectacular.
It absolutely is. I mean, that's three meals a day plus, and you can't beat it right now. So even though people are tightening their belts, I think boomers are a little more into having some more free time and maybe a little more income. And, you know, they should enjoy the time and they should enjoy their travels.
I agree. I think the baby boomers are a bit more affluent than our parents were years ago.
Absolutely.
Because not only that, most of them got better educations and inherited money, in fact, from their parents.
Absolutely.
And so I think you're right. They do have... Uh, money to spend, and that, of course, is important.
And it's going to go farther now because, you know, the industry is hurting a tad, and so they're going to be offering deals, just like, you know, this Christmas in the stores, you know, people were getting great deals. You'll find the same thing with travel.
Well, I'm tired of hearing all this doom and gloom.
I am, too. Let's explore our fun side.
Well, that's exactly right. Let's get out there and...
glamping, Roy. Yeah. You know, there's other things, too. Culinary travel is exciting.
Culinary travel has really come a long way.
That's one of our categories.
Right.
And we offer all kinds of culinary trips from Poland to Thailand to Croatia to France to Italy. I mean, there's just so many options, and that's what we want to, you know, that's what we want to provide. We want to provide boomers with the idea that there are a lot of options out there, and you should be able to explore those options.
Absolutely right. And the thing is, with culinary travel, it's so different from country to country. For example, when I was in Jordan, we were in the Petra area, we went to the Petra kitchen where we cooked our own foods the whole group of us. We all had a little assignment, some chopping the onions, some chopping the tomatoes, and
of course,
and it ended up being one of the local dishes, and it was all quite good. And so, yes, that I think culinary travel is very interesting.
And I think, you know, for boomers especially, because they've done so many things, you know, by the time you reach this stage of life, you know, you probably have done quite a bit of traveling, so you're looking for some new and interesting ideas. You know, we also have a category called grandparents, and there are special companies out there that prepare trips designed for grandparents to take their grandkids. You can go to Venice and make carnival masks with your grandkids. You know, I mean, that's the more exotic one. Or you can go to ball games and ballparks with your kids, grandkids. There's just all types of vacations, and so many people don't know that those types of trips exist, which is why they're on the site.
Right. And you're also taking it to another level whereby you're asking people to send in their photos. And
well, yes. Now, how many contests do you know where you have to be 50 or older to enter? We are currently running our Fun Side of 50 photo contest. Well, technically, you have to be a boomer. It's just easier to say 50 and over, but I think you can squeak in when you're born between the right years, 46 to 1946 to, let's see, 1944 to 1962. Those are the official baby boomer. 1946 to 1964.
Right, which was around the end of the Second World War.
Anyway, to be on the Fun Side of 50 photo contest. And what we try to do is, because we have the 30 categories, you can post your photo to coincide with any of the categories. So, like grandparents, my gosh, how many grandparents have great photos of their grandkids that they'd love to put out there and when they've vacationed with them. So any of the categories, if you have photos and you're 50 and older, please submit them and vote on them. You don't have to be 50 to vote. You only have to be 50 to enter and win, and you can go to San Juan for a week.
Yeah, I see the prize is quite...
Cool your heels on the beach, and you don't even need a passport to go there. The Marriott has provided a lovely property for us in San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Now,
well, and all the category winners win a Tom Brokaw's book, Boom, which is about our generation. So it's a fun thing. So everything we do, we try to cater to boomers. We also have we have travel tips. We have an area called Share Your Travel Experiences, which is a forum for people to do just that, share their travel experiences with us. I just saw a recent posting, which is one of the most wonderful ones I've ever seen. A gentleman, I believe he's from Canada, actually, and he posted something about Albany, Georgia's Civil Rights Institute. Hmm. And it's like reams of information about this. That's something I've never seen, and people are interested in history, especially boomers. And, of course, we do have a museum category and that sort of thing. So, you know, we'd love for you to share your travel experiences. We have Diane Deal's travel blog. She is a boomer flight attendant. And she gives her perspective and tips from the inside of the airplane and as a fellow boomer.
And just getting back to the photo contest again, what are the rules on that?
Well, you have to be 50
over 50, right.
You have to be 18 or older to vote.
Right.
They have to be in a digital format.
Right.
You just have to register, and that's just, you know, your name and your email address. We just, if you win, we want to be sure that you are indeed a boomer. You cannot mail or email the entries to Boomer Oprah. You just have to submit through the website with a digital photo. And you can do multiple entries in all the categories. And you can vote more than once. The whole idea is to keep voting. And our voting process is such that it's a scale of 1 to 9, you know, 1 being, you know, the worst and 9 being the best. So when you vote, you can vote on what level you think the photograph is.
Now, it's interesting that I've just...
No purchase necessary, of course.
I've just brought up the topics in Albany, Georgia Civil Rights, and it was written by Bob Fisher, who has a Travelosophy. Bob Fisher used to be our associate producer on the show.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, and so when I just looked, I said, that sounds awfully familiar when you were talking about the civil rights, because...
I'm so happy that he came on board to do that on the site.
Yeah, I am too. And Bob's a very bright guy, a former educator, and he really writes good in-depth stuff. And as I can see, his website is www.travelosophy.ca for Canada.
Right.
Liz, give our listeners your website, please, and so they can come on to your site.
Sure.
And maybe
it's www.boomeropia.com, BOOMEROPIA, one word, boomeropia.com. We'd love for you to look around the site. We'd love for you to enter the contest. I'm sure there are people that have some magnificent photos. And you'll see, you know, there's some great ones, there's some funny ones. There's a pet category also, because we know boomers are empty nesters, and they fill their nest with pets. And we have a category that tells you who accepts them worldwide, and you can send pictures of your pets on your vacations with you. So the whole contest is a ball, and it runs until May, so you've got plenty of time to post.
My guest has been Liz Dahl, and she is the her website is boomeropia.com. Thank you for joining us, Liz.
Thank you so much, Roy.
A pleasure.
Have a great day. Bye.
You're listening to Talking Travel on Florida's Suncoast Radio, WTMY 1280, broadcasting from Sarasota. We've got lots in store for you in 2009 in our continuing series of Rediscovering America, Destination Worldview, and TripAdvisor is going to report on their 10 best every month. Also, once again, we'll have travel experts like Peter Greenberg, Chris Elliott, and Johnny Jett who will bring us the latest travel updates. So let's just ignore all this doom and gloom, doom and gloom, I should say, and tune in every week for 6 hours of Travel Talk Radio on WTMY Sunday Travel Radio. And speaking of industry experts, it brings us to our next guest, and it's a Mr. Adam Burke, and he is a longtime travel industry veteran, a native of Chicago, and he joined the Hilton family of hotels in 1992. He is currently the Senior Vice President, Customer Loyalty, which is probably one of the most important things in our industry these days. Welcome, Mr. Burke.
Hey, Roy. Great to be here. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
It's a real pleasure. For our listeners, if you will, could you just give us a little background on Hilton Honors? Actually, it's the 22nd year, I believe.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The program was founded in 1987. And I think the key word really for the Hilton Honors program is flexibility. What we're really are trying to do is make sure that our customers have the flexibility to earn points and miles the way they want to receive the types of promotional offers that they're most interested in, and to have really the easiest and most flexible program to both earn and redeem for rewards.
There's some new things happening in 2009, I understand.
Yeah, there certainly are. We have, first of all, a couple major promotions that launched recently. We have a double base points promotion that's running through early April at more than 2,400 hotels worldwide, which means that Hilton Honors members can earn double the base points they would normally earn. So normally Hilton Honors members earn 10 base points for every dollar they spend, and after registering for the promotion, they can actually earn 20, making that free night even easier to attain. And, of course, that's in addition to the airline miles they can earn, since Hilton Honors is the only major reward program that allows you to earn both points and miles for the same stay.
There's a number of different options here. There's points and points, points in variable miles, points in fixed miles, and then, of course, this double dip your way.
Exactly. I mean, the key to us is, you know, Hilton Honors is available at more than 3,000 Hilton Family hotels worldwide.
That's incredible, actually, 3,000 properties. Yeah,
yeah, we're very fortunate. I mean, you know, as a loyalty program, we're the beneficiaries of having not just terrific distribution, but also just phenomenal quality of brands. I mean, you know, we exist everywhere from mid-price from Hampton Inn and Hilton Garden Inn, certainly full-service hotels like Hilton and DoubleTree, all the way up to luxury properties like the Waldorf Astoria Collection and the Conrad brand. So, you know, as someone who's responsible for the program, we're the beneficiaries of knowing that everywhere our customers want to go, they're going to find a great brand and at a good price point for them. And, you know, one of the things that's remarkable is since J.D. Power started their consumer satisfaction studies for the hotel industry, Hilton has won over 20 first-place J.D. Power awards, which is just far and away the leading one in the industry.
That's great. Loyalty is so important now, wouldn't you say? Even more important than it's ever been, even though Hilton's been at it for 22 years. I mean, I grew up in the airline industry where, you know, we believe the customer was always right. That was the premise, but even though the customer wasn't always right, we always treated them right. And I think it's very important to get back to that again.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I think the thing we need to realize is, first and foremost, we are in the hospitality business. You know, I think one of the fortunate things working at Hilton is something that's more or less ingrained in our DNA is Conrad Hilton's vision. There's a great quote that I think everyone in our company pretty much has committed to memory that he gave to a hotel association meeting back in the 60s, and he said, as hotel men and women, it has been and remains our responsibility to fill the world with the light and warmth of hospitality.
Yep.
And first and foremost, that's what it's about. You know, I mean, we all know that you know, travel is a bit more rigid than it used to be, and our goal is really to make sure that when someone gets to our hotels, that it is really the safe haven for them, that we can enable what they need to get done, we can make it comfortable, more productive, and I think the program fits very well within that because it's a matter of making people's travel easier, making it more rewarding, and it really is first and foremost about being hospitable.
And of course, it doesn't cost anything to join the program.
Exactly. One of the interesting things to me is I think over the past few years, a lot of customers have started to see tremendous value in the hotel programs that they really weren't aware of before.
Yeah, absolutely right.
And I think a big part of that is recognizing that it is both very easy to earn the currency that they want and very easy to redeem it as well. You know, with Hilton Honors, for example, we're the only ones who let you earn both points and miles for the same stay, but as you pointed out, you also have the flexibility to choose how you want to earn the currency. So you can either choose to earn points and miles if you want the flexibility of both currencies, which no one else lets you do, or if you're someone who really wants the fastest way to a free night, you can choose points and points in lieu of airline miles, and you'll actually get 15 points for every dollar you spend. So it's incredibly easy to earn the points. We also have things like an earnings mall, where by shopping with retailers that you would normally choose to do business with, you can get additional honors points. So a great example is I'm a music junkie. You know, I download from iTunes all the time. If you go through the Hilton Honors Mall and you shop on iTunes, you get 3 honors points for every dollar you spend.
And that, as you say, I think there are a lot of people that aren't aware of that and yet still use the properties and have maybe never signed up, which is really quite easy. They can either do it at the property, I understand, probably calling the 800 number and going to the website. Is that correct?
Exactly. You can do it on property. You can do it online. And one of the things that, you know, I think goes along with remembering that customer loyalty has never been more important, as you said, Roy, is that no blackout dates has become a very topical area of conversation in the hotel space. And I think one thing that's very important for your listeners to look at is what do hotel companies really mean when they say no blackout dates for rewards?
Right.
What we found is that if you talk to customers, no blackout dates really means no blackout dates with no capacity controls. In other words, if there's a standard room available for purchase, I should be able to use my points for it.
Right.
And yet, of the 5 major hotel programs, 3 of them, specifically Marriott, Intercontinental, and Hyatt, while they state that they have no blackout dates, still reserve the right to set aside a limited number of standard rooms for rewards, With Hilton Honors, we have no blackout dates and no capacity controls. So for a customer, it's incredibly easy to redeem, because as long as there's a standard room available for purchase, they can use their points for it in every one of our hotels worldwide.
And very important, because there's nothing worse than, for example, with the airlines, and I've been in that industry for longer than I care to admit, but they are back. There's so many seats in a bucket, as we call them, and it is capacity controlled, and there are blackout dates. And so when people get a little frustrated, they say, well, geez, I've earned all these rewards, and now I can't even use them on the one day that I want to go, and it's blacked out. So very, very important issue. And the other thing I think that's important to bring out is that in order to get these rewards, even though it's very easy to sign up, you must sign up before you actually make your booking. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's correct. You need to, well, not actually before you make the booking. I mean, you can book for a stay and then sign up on property, and you'll still get credit for that stay.
Okay.
So as long as you're signed up at the time of that stay, you will certainly earn credit for it.
All right. Now, there's one word that I'd like a little definition of, if you will. It says that you earn the bonus points for every eligible dollar. Eligible.
Eligible basically means that it is money you spend at the hotel at outlets that they own and operate. So it's basically when we control the outlet,
right,
it's eligible to receive points. So, for example, at our full-service hotels, that generally means that it's on your total eligible folio. So it's not just the room rate, but it's also things like eating at our restaurants, if you use our spa services, etc. Whereas at our focus service brands, it's generally tied just to the room rate only, because there really aren't a lot of other opportunities for spending at outlets that we own and operate. So that's simply all it means, is any place, including the room rate, where we own and operate that outlet, that is generally eligible for points. So certainly you look at some of our resort properties,
right,
people are earning a lot of additional points by using the outlets on property, and certainly that applies on business days as well.
Right, and can you give us some tips for maximizing some of these points possibly?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, certainly things like the double base points promotion,
right,
that I just mentioned.
Right.
And then also for people who are really interested in collecting miles, we have a Delta offer. They're a terrific partner of ours. And right now there is a sextuple miles offer in market through the end of February. So when people register for that promotion, and that's available at over 1,500 hotels worldwide, they earn six times the normal number of miles. So if someone, for example, is choosing to earn points and 500 miles per stay, they'll actually earn 3,000 miles for that stay. So it's a very lucrative offer. But I think in terms of really getting the most from your points, number one, it's choosing the earnings option that makes the most sense for you. So
right,
if you're someone who already flies extensively, we found that there are people who say, I earn plenty of miles from the flights. What I'd like is the flexibility to earn as much of the hotel currency as possible. Or you have some people who might be more moderate travelers who say, I want both, and that's important. So I think the first thing is just pick the earnings style with Hilton Honors that makes the most sense for you. But I definitely encourage people to look at the no annual fee co-brand credit cards that we have. We actually have two products, one with American Express and one with Citibank USA. They're both no annual fee, and they allow you to earn additional honors points for your everyday spend, and even more when you're spending at our hotels. That's a very, very easy way to quickly accumulate points, and certainly things like the earnings mall I had mentioned. But you can also earn points for doing things like renting cars and through other services we offer with our program partners.
Now, how does one keep track of these points?
Actually, that to me is one of the real benefits of the program, is it's very easy. We have an online profile for every customer where whenever they want, they can go online, they can check their point balance, and more importantly, they can keep track of all the various offers I've mentioned. It's something we call MyWay that essentially allows the customer to customize what their page with Hilton Honors looks like, so they can tell us what types of offers they want to see, what kind of promotions they're currently enrolled in, and do they have any particular preferences. I mean, a good example is if someone tells us they're interested in golf, we'll make sure that they receive offers that are relevant to them based on that. And I guess that's a big point, too, is, you know, I'm sure, Roy, you know, like me, you get inundated with a lot of stuff via email and regular mail. And one of the things we always want to ensure is we're not sending things to customers that they don't want to hear about. So we rely very heavily on the customer's preferences, and we will customize the kind of offers they receive on that basis.
Good strategy. And how do you What is the strategy of the balance between leisure and business? Because Hilton is an interesting product because obviously it has both. And one goes after the business traveler, and obviously one goes after the leisure travel for your resort properties. Is there a particular balance that you look for in there?
You know, I'm glad you asked that, because I think one of the things that we as an industry maybe have gotten wrong over the past decade or so is I think there was a real tendency for a while to try to define people as business travelers or leisure travelers.
Right.
And I think, you know, looking at mine, likely your personal experience, we're neither and we're both, right? There are times where we're business travelers. There are times where we're leisure travelers. And the types of travel we're having, even within that varies. I mean, if I'm on a business trip and it's just to go make a presentation somewhere versus I'm going for a meeting, those may be very different needs I have. And the same thing even for leisure. You know, I could be going away with my wife for a quick weekend somewhere, or I could be taking my family, including the kids, to a resort for 10 days. So I think our approach is to distinguish less between a leisure and a business customer and more to recognize that it's important to provide the right roster of properties and offers that will meet every customer's needs. So I think it's more important to recognize that we don't distinguish between the two, but that because we do, as you said, Roy, have, you know, so many great resorts as well as non-resort properties, that we'll have the right product no matter what someone needs. And because people can customize the types of offers they receive from us, they'll get both leisure and business offers based on their need.
Very well put, and of course it all comes right back to customer loyalty, and that's what builds it.
Absolutely.
Adam, I really want to thank you for joining us today. It was very interesting, and maybe we can get you back another time and cover some other items. In the meantime, let's give out the website again, and I'll do that because I have it in front of me, and it's Hilton Honors. .com. That's Hilton, HHonors.com. And if you just go to HiltonHotels.com, there's a link there that you can click on to take you straight to that. Once again, Adam, thank you very much, and you have a great 2009.
To you as well, Roy. Thanks so much for having me on.
A pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
My next guest is Mr. Dave Hunter, broadcaster, which was news to me, actually, and author of Along Interstate 75. I would just say that Dave Hunter probably knows more than anyone about what there is to see, do, and learn on I-75. Hi, Dave. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. How are you, Roy?
I'm great. Happy New Year to you.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad you said weather, because right now I'm sitting up in Canada, and it's about 0 Celsius, which I think translates into 11 degrees.
Oh, my. You know, it's interesting because it was a little chilly down here this morning. It was about 45 degrees, but we knew once the sun came out, it's going to warm up, and that's the beauty of Florida. But I know what that weather can get like in Canada, because I went up a couple of years ago for the winter carnival, festival
in Quebec.
Oh, what a wonderful time I had.
Oh, wonderful, yeah.
And wonderful people.
It
was just absolutely amazing. And when my kids were asking me what I wanted for Christmas, and I told them snow boots, I think they were having a little conference wondering if they were going to have to put Dad away somewhere. But I hadn't told them that I was going up to the Winter Festival. I thought I'd spring it on them later.
Yeah.
Dave, I love your book. It's brilliant. One of the most useful guides that I've ever come across. Let's just go back. How did you get started on this? Like everybody else, trying to find your way around, I guess. But
it was in one word, unemployment.
Ah, that's when we're
the greatest motivator around.
Exactly, or we become consultants.
Yeah, that's right. but actually, I was running a company in Canada for a U.S. Parent, and our founder died, and the venture capitalists came in, they saw the success of the Canadian operation, decided to close us up and put the run the Canadian operation from Philadelphia. So within 1 year, they were out of business, and I was a travel book writer.
And before that, you were a broadcaster, were you?
I had done Saturday evenings on a show in Toronto on the equivalent of a Clear Channel station,
right.
Basically music, And it was targeted towards the British sort of people, which is, of course, I do speak an English. You probably hear the U's that I put into color. And it was a lot of fun, just a lot of fun.
Well, I do, you know, I worked for Sir Freddie Laker for a lot of years, so I spent a lot of time in the UK. So, yes,
yeah.
I'm kind of used to the, if you want to call it an accent.
Well, you know, when I'm doing work in Georgia, they just say they love my accent.
Oh, yeah, I love it, fine. And what's really so amazing is that how many different accents there are in the United States. And, of course, the same thing in the UK when you travel around.
Yeah.
There's so many different dialects. And then, of course, before we get into your book, then you were generously turned our friends Stan and Sandra on to doing Interstate 95.
Yes, I did. Our book, I-75, of course, was so popular with the Midwestern states and, of course, people in Ontario, Canada. And so many people were contacting me saying, why don't you do an I-95 book? But you can spread yourself a little too thin, Roy.
And exactly.
I just really felt we couldn't do justice to it. And, you know, it's a good job because in 2004, your past governor, Jeb Bush, actually contacted me and said that our I-75 book had been very, very useful for people evacuating ahead of Hurricane Charley.
Interesting.
That he wondered if we had ever considered doing a Florida book. And, you know, having the governor on side really opens a few doors for you. So we rushed along Florida's expressways into being and had that out. It's very similar to the I-75 book, by the way. And we had that out in the marketplace in time for the 2006 hurricane season. And I guess I didn't realize that we had Murphy as a co-author because all of a sudden those terrible hurricanes of 2004, 2005 sort of disappeared.
Yeah. I didn't see this book. You did publish it, did you?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And it's interesting because, well, I'm the author. I shouldn't say it's interesting. But we keep away from the major attractions, and we deal with the very, very unusual things that happen in the state. In Florida.
In Florida, yeah.
We talk, of course, about the Indian Wars, not the Seminoles, but the wars that took place between the Timucua and the Indians in the Tallahassee area, which the battleground actually is where I-75 in North Florida runs through today, and there was actually a no-man's land right at White Springs. And the trees were blazed around there, and braves from either side who were in that circle, in fact, became the best of friends.
Interesting.
And, so we have all those unusual little stories. We give the background of Snook Haven, for instance, just down from you, and also highly recommend the South Florida Museum in Bradenton, which is probably one of the best in the state in terms of describing how once Florida was sandwiched between Africa and South America.
Yeah, interesting. And you know, that it's kind of a little-known fact, actually. I'm glad you brought that up, because these are the kinds of things that you do mention in your books that are so useful. And
it's fun. I mean, we talk about spies that landed on the beach over in the St. Augustine area.
Exactly.
The only infiltration of spies, actually, that we know about in North America during the Second World War. Or why Henry VIII wanted to marry Catherine of Aragon, for those history people, so he could get a little bit of an edge on the Spanish exploration of North America. And all of that is in our Florida book.
That's terrific. You know, what we'll do is we probably should cover that in another session. I'll have to get a copy of it. I can be a little bit more knowledgeable about it. But let's just get back to I-75. It starts where?
Well, it starts in Sault Ste. Marie in North Michigan, although I must admit, we start our coverage in Detroit.
I see that.
And
yes,
we bring people down in that book to the Georgia-Florida border, And the reason for sort of dropping them at that point is because we knew people went off in different directions once they got into the sun. The 75 is actually continued right down through and into Miami in our Florida book, so we do have the entire thing.
People don't realize how close, actually, many people don't, how close Detroit is to Canada.
Well, yeah, it's of course, it's just across the river.
Exactly.
And we have one of our major freeways. We call it the 401 that runs right from up in the Montreal. Actually, it starts at the Quebec-Montreal sort of border.
Border, yeah.
And runs all the way through Ontario down to Windsor. And then, of course, we have the bridge, and we're on I-75.
Right. So you started there, and then you follow it all the way down to, let's see, where does it end?
Past Valdosta in South Georgia to the Georgia-Florida border.
Right.
Although I must admit, we in the I-75 book, I do sneak across the border, and we pat the people on the backs at the Florida Welcome Center. Just great people.
All right. Those welcome centers are really useful. In fact, unfortunately, they're talking about cutting them in the budget this year.
Oh, gosh.
And that's awful. But yeah, I guess, you know, they've got to cut where they got to cut, and they can't take it all. I don't know why they go to education first, but that's another issue.
Well, you know, Tennessee, unfortunately, have cut right back on their rest areas, and once you're across the Tennessee border now, you almost have to cross your legs unless you can find a McDonald's on the way south.
That's always the key, being able to find the restrooms.
Yeah.
Now, let's go there for that purpose. When you select an exit, well, you know, the exits are there, but when you start to research that exit, you work from a checklist, or what do you use as a guide?
Well, over the years, we've developed our own database. And I've got to admit that I'm not the expert when it comes to the exits. It's my wife, who is my secret partner. She doesn't want to be identified. She has her other career, but she is just an expert on the exits. And we actually go off and we check all the exits. And it's just amazing. In the last year, we have seen a 27% change in the exit services. And what, of course, happened was last summer, people weren't traveling because of the high price of gas, and a lot of businesses closed. And then, of course, we've had the economic problems that are with us right now. And so we saw a number of businesses close as we went through updating our database, but yet new ones came in. And when we look at what the exits were, or the services at the exits, and we only go off about a mile either side, by the way, we measured that against the changes, and we saw a 27% change in business.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's very, very unfortunate. So you're now, I think you're going off onto another trip, and you're going to research it again, are you? Is that the plan?
Yeah, we do that every year. The thing about our book, actually, Roy, is that we don't put anything in it in terms of a recommendation, local information, unless we have really checked it ourselves.
Right, very wise.
Yes, next week I'll be heading in your direction. I'm coming down for the huge Snowbird Extravaganza, which is a two-day free show in Lakeland. And then we're staying with relatives for a few days, and then we're back to Orlando for a tourism conference. And then I got a very exciting project.
Let me just stop you there for a second. Yeah. Are you going to Florida Huddle? Is that where you're going?
Yeah, I'm going to be at Florida Huddle.
Well, I'll be there as well, so we'll get to chat.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, but I got to tell you, when we leave Florida Huddle, and I should explain, that's for your listeners, that's the gathering of the various area tourism bureaus that come together once a year. After that, we're off to St. Augustine because I'm spending a couple of nights in a haunted bedroom, in a haunted inn, gathering material for a Halloween article that I'm writing for a large Canadian magazine next fall, obviously.
Well, that's very interesting. I think that I hope you get some sleep while you're there.
Last time I did this, all my electronic gear collapsed. I was doing a remote from the old Spanish hospital, if you know it, in St. Augustine.
Right.
And we had charged all of our batteries, our cameras, my remote gear. We got there, and nothing would work.
Well, it sounds like you're following a little bit in John Brent's shoes, where he wrote about the Savannah book.
Oh, right. Yes, yes.
So I've had him on the show. He was a good interview. He's a lot of fun. So you're going to St. Augustine to do that. That'll be terrific.
Yep. Then I got to head north to shovel out my driveway.
Oh, jeepers. Now let's just go through the book for our listeners. I'm not just saying this because you're on the air. It's a great book, and when you open up the cover, which actually has a fold over, mm-hmm. when you open that, of course, it has the radio stations that one can listen to, and there's nothing more annoying than have to scroll through your radio to try and pick up some news or traffic reports or whatever you want, music or classical stations, and you've got it all.
Well, we have, and I've got to tell you, by the way, one of the neat little tricks in Florida is if people want to listen to the National Public Radio, just tune in to the hurricane signs. Because
right?
hurricane evacuation, of course, those are used for emergency, but other times you get the regular programming.
Right.
Yeah. I think the thing that most readers just love about our book, by the way, Roy, are the 25-mile strip maps. And we put, for when you're driving south, we put south at the top of the page. So if you can imagine, you have the book in your lap, and you're actually driving up the page so that everything on the right-hand side of the map is on the right-hand side of your car.
Right.
In other words, these are maps that you just do not have to turn upside down.
Right.
And then coming back north again, we put north, we have a completely separate set because the radar traps are in different places. And the lane configurations, by the way, we tell, we show where lanes merge. Maybe you go from a three-lane stretch down to a two-lane stretch, and whether that merges on the left or on the right-hand side. So there are a lot of differences between going south and coming back up north. So we actually give two sets of maps in this book.
And what's interesting is that, you know, a lot of people, including myself, have GPSs these days, mm-hmm. but this is so much easier because I don't have time to fiddle around with my GPS. And in fact, in many cases, you can't make changes to your GPS. You have to pull off the road. It doesn't allow you to search. As we're here, it's in a reasonable size. It's not like one of these big road maps.
No.
And as you say, you can have it in your lap and just at a glance, you can see exactly where you are at any moment on any of those, near any of those exits. And basically, you have a lot of historic data, which I find also very interesting.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a nut when it comes to history. And so when I knew that, for instance, some of the early pioneers had somewhere crossed the terrain of today's I-75, I had to just go and find them. And so we were able to map, for instance, Daniel Boone's route across, as he came across the Appalachian Mountains
right.
and went into Kentucky. And, you know, the terrain itself has not changed. But, I mean, the big rocks, obviously, are still where they were. And so we were able to very accurately map that sort of thing right onto the modern I-75 map. And we did the same with a major Civil War battlefield in North Georgia, where we have the I-75, and we can actually show the Confederate lines, the Union lines, and we tell mile by mile what happened on that day in 1864. That's the Battle of Resaca, by the way.
And I'm looking at a print here on page 121, and it's depicting a battle of General Sherman.
Yes.
And quite interesting. And of course, you know, these are the sorts of things that most people aren't going to find on their own.
No. And you know, to give you an example of some of the very unusual things, in the Florida book, we don't talk about Walt Disney World. What I talk about is how Roy and Walt were looking at various locations within the state. For instance, they had just about settled on Ocala as the site when all of a sudden Roy discovered that they were going to be building I-4. And
right.
Then when they looked at a map and saw the confluence, if you like, of the Florida's Turnpike and I-4, and then that was had I-95 and I-75 on its boundaries, if you like, they knew that the Orlando-Kissimmee area was the place to really put the park.
Well, interesting also is that on US 41, most people don't know. They call it the Tamiami Trail from
yes.
Tampa to Miami. Most people don't realize that Tamiami was stood for Tampa to Miami because it was the only road along the West Coast that you could get between those two points.
Yeah, that was we actually talk about that in the Florida book, and if I recall, it was Collier who started building that.
I believe you're correct, yeah.
Yeah, cutting that through the Everglades, was just a major, major job.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
the other thing that you point out, money-saving tips, and it's very important in Florida, as you say, and you can pick up your free copies of the Green Traveler Discount
mm-hmm.
Guides and many others, I guess, where they do have these discount coupons. And
right.
on many occasion, I've tried that. In fact, one time I stopped in Cracker Barrel and I picked up one of their menus, and we did what they call the Cracker Barrel Trail.
Yeah.
And while we're in the car, I mean, what would you like for lunch? And then we try to plan our trip between there and the next meal, and since we nicked the menu, we could all decide what we're going to have, although we found out that not everybody has the same specials in the different Cracker Barrels. But these are the kinds of things that are so important, and these are the things that you point out in your book and accurately so that make it a real pleasure. I just encourage everybody to get a copy of this book, and it's called Along I-75, Interstate I-75, and it's written by Dave Hunter. And where can they get the book, Dave?
It should be in all the major bookstores,
right.
such as Barnes & Noble and Borders, but let me give you a 1-800 number. These people are very good. It's not our company. It's one we've been doing business with for a number of years, but they will mail the book the same day they get the order, so it's very, very quick. The number is 1-800-431-1579. That's 1-800-431-1579.
And your website?
Oh, i75online.com.
My guest is Mr. Dave Hunter, author of Along Interstate 75 and other books, as you've heard him mention. And I look forward to seeing you in Orlando and also getting a copy of your Florida book, and so we can chat about that a little bit later.
I'll make sure that we have a couple of copies for you, Roy, at Florida Huddle.
Well, I thank you.
We'll get together and... we'll do that.
I look forward to it, Dave.
Okay.
Thank you, and bye for now.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And for all you savvy travelers out there listening, you may want to tune in on Sundays from 3 p.m. till 9 for WTMY's all-new Sunday Travel Radio. From 3 to 5, Pierre Wolf will host America's Travel and Dining Guide. Then from 5 to 6, yours truly, Roy Lowy, will host Talking Travel. Then 6 to 9, Travel with Stephanie Abrams. We'll offer you a six-hour mix of everything that relates to travel, from travel journalists reporting from around the world, what's hot, what's not, single travel, single parents with kids, the best online travel sites. Our consumer advocates will even be on the job to resolve issues that you may have and we'll cover it right here on WTMY. So if you want the latest travel info, we'll be here from 3 to 9 on Sundays, and hope you will join us right here on WTMY 1280. You're listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy, and I'm your travel guide.